Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we'd like to hear from you on today's Basic Gospel program. If you have Bible questions or issues you're dealing with, we're here to talk it through with you. Give us a call now at 844-322-2742, and if you're hearing the live program, you can speak directly with us right now. Overnight, just call that same number, 844-322-2742, and leave a voicemail with your question or your issue, and we'll discuss it on the Basic Gospel program. Now, what that exactly means is, whenever you're hearing the program, you can call now, because this is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Two great passages I want to share today as we open up the program. And the first one comes from Romans chapter 8. It's verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So when we're talking about the impact of the resurrection on you and me, this is a verse that really gives us some insight as to what that is. So when we were lost and dead in sin, we were led by the ways of this world, by the power of sin, by the power of death, by the desires of the flesh. That's what led us along in our lives, and our choices were dictated by those things. But now that we have died in Christ and have been raised, we have a new way of life. Now we're led by the Spirit. We're led along by the Spirit of God. And this is proof that we are sons of God. So that's good news. So the impact of the resurrection, how God makes it relevant to us in our day-to-day lives, is the fact that he gives us a new way to live, being led by the Spirit of God. So Christ died, Christ was buried, Christ was raised back to life, Christ ascended into heaven. When he ascended into heaven, according to Acts chapter 2, God the Father gave him the Spirit to pour out on man, and that's what he did on the day of Pentecost. And ever since then, any person who comes to Christ, comes to faith in Jesus, is given the gift of God's Spirit. And now they are led along in day-to-day life by the Spirit of God. So this is proof that you are indeed a son of God. Paul goes on to say in Romans 8:14 and 15 and 16 that the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that indeed we are children of God. So this is assurance. So how does the Spirit of God lead us along? He leads us along a path of assurance. He gives us assurance that we indeed are children of God. And it's by the Spirit that we cry out, Abba, Father. Now, the next passage is a corollary to that, and it is in Galatians chapter 5, and it says this, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So, in essence, what it's saying, if you're a child of God, you are not under the law. We were under the law of sin and death. We were bound by the power of sin and death, but God has liberated us. God has given us freedom from the law of sin and death by the power of the law of the Spirit of life. So we're regenerated by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God comes to live inside of us, and now it's the Spirit of God empowering us to live as children of God in this world. So that is the relevant impact of the resurrection to you here and now. Your new way of living is being led by the Spirit of God. And faith, as God leads you by his Spirit, faith keeps in step with the Spirit. That's how it's rigged. That's how it works out for you and me. So if you are led by the Spirit, you are a son of God. If you are led by the Spirit, you are no longer under the law. Well, what does that mean? It means that you have been raised. You have died to the elemental things of this world. Paul says that in Colossians. You've died to those things. And then he asks the question, since you've died to those things, why do you continue to submit to its rules and regulations, like do not touch, do not taste, do not handle? And then he goes on to say, since you've been raised. So since you've been raised, you are now led by the Spirit of God. So as Christ was raised from the dead physically, you're raised from the dead spiritually. God's Spirit lives in you, and God's Spirit leads you in your day-to-day life. So He gives you the desires of the Spirit. He empowers you to carry those out as a child of God. So that's really practical,
yeah,
powerful truth from the Apostle Paul.
Indeed. Thank you, Bob, for those thoughts. And friends, thank you for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. We've had a couple of calls that came in overnight, and rather than going to a break right now, let's go to the first call, and this is from Kelvin. Let's listen.
Hello, Bob. How are you? My name is Kelvin from New Jersey. I want to thank you guys for your show. Very informative. I have a question about Acts 18:24 through 26. It says, "Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man, being instructed in the way of the Lord and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately, as accurately the things of the Lord, though he only knew the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogues. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately." I wonder if you could explain that passage to me. Thank you. God bless and have a good night.
Well, Kevin, that's an outstanding question, and it really gets back to kind of the formation of the church, how the gospel began to spread. So we know that John the Baptist came on the scene. John the Baptist said, "Hey, there's someone that's coming after me. I'm here to prepare the way for him, to make that path smooth." He began to baptize people to prepare their hearts for the coming of the Messiah. And then he had the wonderful privilege of introducing the Messiah to the nation of Israel. That happened in the Jordan River when John the Baptist was privileged to baptize Jesus Christ. So he dunked him in the water and lifted him out. A dove descended upon his head, and the voice from heaven was heard, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." So God the Father was saying at that moment, the Messiah that you've been waiting for is here. He is the one that was just baptized by John the Baptist. Well, after that moment, Jesus' ministry took off, and John the Baptist just went back into the background. As he said, "He must increase, I must decrease." So John the Baptist's ministry had been fulfilled. Now, Apollos was only aware of what John the Baptist had said. He was only aware of the teachings of John the Baptist. So in his mind, he was thinking, "Hey, there's a Messiah yet to come." Well, when Priscilla and Aquila heard him there in Ephesus, they decided to take him aside, lovingly took him aside and said, "Listen, we've encountered the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul has given us the full story, that the one that John the Baptist spoke of, the one that John the Baptist came into this world to prepare the way for, that one has come, and that one died, that one was buried, that one was raised back to life, and through faith in him, we can have eternal life and can receive the gift of God's Spirit." So he was given the full story, the complete gospel message. He was only operating on a partial message, the message of John the Baptist. And that's why Luke was very clear in saying that he knew only the baptism of John, a baptism of repentance in preparing the heart for the coming Messiah. That's what he knew. That's all he knew. And he was eloquent. He was persuasive. He was charismatic. And he could deliver that message in a powerful way. Well, there was another message that needed to be delivered in a powerful way, and that was the good news of Jesus Christ. So they gave the word of God to him more accurately, in the sense that Christ had come, Christ had done the work God had tasked him to do in dying for our sins. that Christ had been buried, Christ had been raised, Christ had ascended into the heavens and had poured out the gift of the Spirit. Now we see in the very next chapter, chapter 19, when Paul goes into Ephesus, he comes across some disciples. Now they had been discipled by Apollos, and all they knew was the message of John the Baptist. And that's what they said. And Paul asked the question, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. And when Paul, and he said, on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we see the completeness of this. So when it says that Priscilla and Aquila gave the way of God more accurately, they're talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, the gospel that saves. And Paul made that clear to these disciples. And when they believed, then they received the gift of God's Spirit.
Kelvin, hope you're listening. Hope that that's a help to you. And of course, if you have further questions, don't hesitate to reach out again. It's good to hear from you. And Bob, it's good to hear from all of our listeners who call to pose a question. And we want to give that phone number again right now so you can reach directly into the studio and speak with Bob and me. 844-322-2742. That, of course, is good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. And friends, what do you think is the biggest problem faced by the people of the world today? Is it human trafficking, world hunger, mass shootings, maybe COVID-19? Well, certainly each of these is a cause of great distress to millions around the world every day. But the great problem facing the world and the people of the world is the same one that has faced us for probably, I guess, two or more centuries, and that is the ample opportunities to die without ever knowing the saving and abundant life of Jesus Christ. That's why it's vitally important that the basic gospel message gets out as far and wide as possible to proclaim to the world that there is life, saving life for eternity, and life for abundant living here and now in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So friends, please join us if you can. You are, or you can be, a part of getting this message out. Just click donate at basicgospel.net, and when you do, we want to send you a copy of our CD entitled Proof, the Resurrection. It's a perfect message as we experience the afterglow of the resurrection celebration just a couple of weekends ago. So again, please donate, please join us if you can, at basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, another question that came in overnight, and this is the question of questions, and I think our listeners are going to be moved by what they hear.
Hi. I went to church for many years, and I made terrible mistakes. I went right against everything that I believed in, and I did a lot of things wrong. Would it be too late for me to be forgiven from God? Would His grace be sufficient enough for me to be forgiven? That's my question. Thank you.
Well, that's a great question, and it just saddens my heart that somebody is asking this, but I know it's a common question. There are many people asking this, and it stems from this idea that you've outsinned the grace of God, that you've that your sins are just too bad, too heinous, that you have moved yourself out of reach of God's saving grace. Well, that's not true. That's just not true. No one can outsend the grace of God. No one can put themselves beyond the reach of God's love, God's mercy, and God's grace. And it gets simply down to this. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. So today, the gospel message is going out. And what is that gospel message? It is Jesus, the fact that He died for our sins in accordance with Scriptures, that He was buried, that on the third day He was raised alive in accordance with Scriptures. Now, contained within that message is the power unto salvation. So if you hear that message, that is the message of grace, then respond to it by faith. Mm-hmm. And what does that mean? It simply means this, that, Lord, I believe that You took away my sins. every single one of them, that you stood in my place and you took the punishment that I deserved so that I could be set free to experience your eternal life. And so today I open up my heart and I receive you as my Lord and as my Savior. That's as simple as it gets. And it is simple. God is offering you a gift. He doesn't take into account what your past was, what you have done. He doesn't take into account any of those things. As a matter of fact, he's already said in the Word of God that he has reconciled you unto himself. He's not counting your sins against you. So that's good news. You're dredging up those sins. You are looking at them and you're saying, oh my goodness, those are just awful. That means I'm awful. That means that God has turned his back on me. And the Word of God tells a completely different story. God demonstrated his love for you, and that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. God sent Jesus into the world because of his great love for you. God is reaching out to you in mercy and grace so that you can be made alive together with him. So my encouragement to you is simply this. Like I said, the Word of God says today, if you hear his voice.
Yeah.
I looked on the calendar, and guess what? It says today. That's how it describes this date, as today. It's not yesterday, it's not tomorrow, it's today. And the gospel is going forth to you today.
Yeah.
And it's a gospel of hope, it's a gospel of mercy, it's a gospel of grace, it's a gospel of life, it's a gospel that's bigger than you, and it's a gospel that invites you into the very presence of God. So today, my friend, recognize that Jesus died for all your sins. Get down and say thank you to the Lord Jesus. Thank you for standing in my shoes. Thank you for taking my place. Thank you for bearing the punishment that I justly deserve. But thank you as well for coming out of that grave. Thank you that you're alive today and that you can save me. So I'm calling on your name today. And Paul says in Romans 10, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, whether Jew or Gentile, will be saved. So God's grace is there. Let that grace be met with a response of faith that calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus. And when you do, you're going to experience salvation. Now, what is that? What is salvation? Is it simply that God has written your name down in the book of life? Well, yes, that's true. But he's also done something. And here's what he's done. He is going to take you who is dead in trespasses and sins, and he is going to make you alive together with Christ. So just as Christ died and was buried and was raised back to life, that story is going to become your story. You're going to be placed into the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And just as Jesus came out of that grave, you're going to be raised spiritually as a new creation to walk in the newness of life. So that grace is there for you. Let it be met with a response of faith that simply says, yes, Lord, I'm opening up my hands and I'm receiving the gift. And what is that gift? It is Jesus Christ himself.
Absolutely. Well said, Bob. And to this caller, we don't have his name, but yes, sir, if you're listening and you respond to what Bob has been teaching for the last couple of minutes in regard to your question, we hope that you'll reach out to us and let us know if you say that prayer and ask Jesus into your heart. And you can simply drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Just let us know that we have a new brother in Christ. That would be wonderful.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Bob, I know there are other people out there that have the same question. They think they're beyond the reach of God. And I hope what we've said, this gospel message has penetrated your heart, and you've come to realize that, no, you are not outside of the reach of God. As a matter of fact, he is reaching out to you right now, And just the same encouragement to you that we gave to the caller, open up your hands, open up your heart, and receive the Lord Jesus. Call upon his name, and you will be saved.
With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we still have a little bit of time on the clock. We would love to hear from you live on this edition of Basic Gospel. That number, 844-322-2742. And Bob, from Plymouth, Michigan, a question from Kurt. Who are the rulers and authorities mentioned in Ephesians 3:10?
Well, probably it refers to kind of demonic forces, the forces of darkness. And there was a time where they thought that they were in control, but they were never, ever in control. And the cross of Jesus Christ really was a slap in their face. It was an utter disarming of those forces of darkness. So I think that's where we began. We look at it as the demonic forces. I mean, Paul talks about that in Ephesians 6 as well, when he describes spiritual warfare, those forces of darkness. So I think there's a correlation there. And also, I mean, it can have some reference to rulers of this world that stand opposed to the things of God. Certainly from an Old Testament perspective, that would have been Pharaoh. He stood against the things of God. As a matter of fact, he thought he was the supreme being. And yet in the end, he didn't even have the power to save his own son.
Sure.
In direct contrast to God Almighty, who sent his son, who died, and God showed his power through the resurrection and raising him back to life. So that's one example in the Old Testament, and certainly in the New Testament, it would have been Caesar. Caesar claimed to be Lord, and he demanded that all Roman citizens bow and say, Caesar is Lord. And that was why it was such a direct assault, a direct disruption to the Roman way of life when Christians started to stand up and say, no, Caesar is not Lord, Jesus is Lord. So it's the demonic forces, and then it's these rulers of the world that stand in direct opposition to the truth concerning God.
From Richard in Fairfax, Virginia, if Ananias and Sapphira were under grace, why were they killed for lying?
Well, it's interesting when you read that story, we kind of read into it that God struck them dead. Nowhere in that story do you see those words. It simply says that they fell dead. So we don't know if they were believers. We know that they were a part of that group, and they saw the wonderful accolades that Barnabas received when he sold the land and gave the money to the church, and they wanted a little bit of that for themselves, some of those accolades, some of those pats on the back. And that's what moved them to do what they did for their own self benefit.
Right.
So they were seeking praise. So were they believers in Christ? I don't think the story gives us that information, but I think when Peter called them out, and only God would know that, I think it was of such fear that they just fell dead.
Such a confrontation.
That's exactly right. Yeah, right. So I think that's how Luke kind of really lays out that story.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Bob. And friends, thank you for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. Please remember, we have a great resource we'd like to send to you as our way of saying thanks for your gift to keep the message of Christ, life in Christ, going forward. It's called Proof, the Resurrection, and we'll send you a copy as you make your gift in the month of April to support Basic Gospel. Be sure to request your copy when you click donate at basicgospel.net. Keep in mind, too, that if you have questions concerning the Christian life or a Bible passage you can't quite understand, or if there's an issue you find hard to deal with, well, give us a call at 844-322-2742, and we'll discuss it on the broadcast. Again, that's 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.